Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Pardon me, we'll get rid of that in a minute. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. As always, I'm happy to be with you. It is a very rainy and cool Tuesday here in Colorado. It's kind of funny, you know, what's the old saying? April showers bring May flowers. Well, May's 6 days old, and I think we've had more rain in May than we did in April. So that's good. It can keep going as far as I'm concerned. Everything just kind of explodes after. So it's just lovely, you know, just a cloudy, rainy day. A good day to do things, you know, find something to do. And actually, what I need to do is put together all the planter boxes that I ordered from Amazon. I was talking about that last week, and I have a really fun kiss on the cheek from God story for you in relationship to the planter boxes and this big project, you know. And these boxes are really, they're cool. They're metal, and they just come in sections. So you just basically, it's a screw and a wing nut, and you know, you put them together. Super easy, but time consuming. And I managed to I got one done last Sunday, and I've got six more to go. But you know, it's just easy and no big deal. But the reason why I wanted to do the planter boxes is because number one, my soil is very clay-like, and nothing really, not much of anything that I planted in the courtyard that's out in front of my front door, it came back. There's a tiny bit of ground cover that's showing up, tiny bit, but it just didn't, you know, it didn't work. And even with tilling it and putting in a soil amendment and doing everything I could think of to do, they still didn't come back. So I thought if I use these planter boxes, which are like a couple of them are 3x3, but they're all a foot deep. So I don't think, my brother contradicted me and said bunnies can get in there if it's a foot. I don't think so. I don't know. I hope not. But anyway, and besides, the bunny that has been camping out here for 2 years, I haven't seen in a while. So I don't know if she's moved on or something happened to her, but she hasn't been in my yard for probably a week or so. And she was just there every day. And Grace would stand at the window and just vibrate, looking at the bunny in the yard. Just vibrate. She wouldn't make any noise. She just vibrated because she wanted to get out there. I don't know what she would do if she caught it. Probably kiss its nose. You know, she's not, I think she just, it's something in her yard. I think she would do the same thing with a squirrel. She vibrates to squirrels too. But anyway, so they're a foot deep, and then they're a few different dimensions because I wanted to kind of make it look interesting and use them in different parts of the yard. So this project, you know, with the boxes is one thing, you know, putting those together, no big deal. But then, you know, I need soil and what are the right plants? Because my yard is funny. You know, it's just, there are a lot of different areas. And right now, not all the trees are out, you know, not all the trees have leafed out. And so what looks to be a sunny area now probably isn't going to be a sunny area later on in the season. So it's really required a lot of thinking and trying to figure it out. But I bought flowers, I bought bulbs, columbine bulbs. I've wanted to put my grandma always had columbines. She liked columbine. And they come back, and that's the Colorado state flower. A little bit of information for everyone. And they have lots of different colors. So I got some columbine bulbs, and I think they'll, because they go, I mean, they're hardy, and they come back. And so I feel good about that. And just a couple of other ones. And then I figured I'd plant the seeds or the bulbs, see what happens, and then fill in with plants if needed to. So anyway, that's just, you know, there's kind of a lot to consider, but at least I know that what I plant is going to be planted in new soil rather than in the ground. And so it should have a far better chance. And I do not think that bunnies are going to jump a foot into a planter, but anyway, that remains to be seen. So a couple of weeks ago, my sister-in-law texted me and asked me what I wanted for my birthday. And for the past couple of years, they've given me gift cards from Sundance, which I love. I love Sundance. So I said, well, you know, a Sundance gift card would be great. And she was happy with that. She just wanted an answer so that she could get on with other things. She's just so organized and just, she's a doer, man. She's just doing something at every moment. Well, a day or two later, I thought, I should have asked for a gift card from a garden store. That's what I should have done. I mean, I love Sundance. I love their clothes and their purses and shoes and jewelry. I love everything from that place. But I thought about it when I think I'd ordered the planters, but then was thinking, boy, this is a project that just keeps on giving, you know, okay, I've got planters. Now I need dirt. Now I need plants, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I thought about that and I thought, I'm sure she hung up the phone or she finished the text and probably ordered that gift card. So I didn't feel comfortable, you know, calling her back, asking her. So anyway, yeah, last Saturday night we went to dinner. They took me to dinner for my birthday because they're going to be out of town this next weekend. And she texted me that morning and said, Sundance has a glitch in their system and they don't sell, and they can't sell gift cards. What else would I like? So I got a great gift card for Ace Hardware, which has a beautiful garden center and is literally two blocks away from me. So, you know, that's just God, you know, that is, what else would that be? It just makes me laugh. Those kind of things are just delightful. And I think the more we have our eyes open to them, you know, the more we notice, the more we get. So I just had to share that with you. So I have the means to get as much dirt as I could possibly need, I'm pretty sure. And they have flowers and they have other things. So it'll be exciting to go and do that. And I do want to wait a little bit, at least a week before I plant anything. The rule around here is after Mother's Day, because again, you know, we're having a rainy, cold beginning to May, and April was sunny and bright and hot. So you never know around this place. But anyway, thank you again for joining me today. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I will answer them after the show through the chat room. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on a call, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I'll always try to meet your schedule. I will always try to do that. And also, just these are my usual reminders every week. We have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And just a reminder too that my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session will be available until June 20-something when summer starts. And, you know, spring, just look out your window if you're in a place where you can see spring, or take a walk. Spring is just exploding now, you know, in this month, just exploding. And nature is coming back to life. And I noticed yesterday a couple of the plants that I thought weren't coming back, a couple of old plants that have been there for a while. I looked at them again, and they got little green leaves coming out of them. That's a Japanese grass. And I thought, oh, they look dead. They're not. They're coming back. And that's the thing, too, to remember is they don't all come back at one time. They have their own, you know, they have their own time frame. But everything's coming back, and that is joyful and delightful. And that energy of just, you know, momentum and life is a beautiful energy to just, number one, notice, number two, absorb, and number three, use that. Use it to do whatever you need to do. You know, let it jump on that, ride that wave is what I'm trying to say. Jump on that wagon, ride that wave, whatever metaphor you want to use, because it will help. You know, when we are in the energy of the season that we're in, we're supported by that energy. And this is a time of new beginnings. And the purpose of this time-based session is to release obstacles, beliefs, you know, stuff, baggage we tote around with us that that block our full expression, you know, block our availability for new beginnings. So it's a valuable time. It's a valuable 15 minutes. And you'll feel the difference once it's over. But that will be available, as I said, for another month and a half or so. And to the You Empowered Feng Shui, Intuitive Feng Shui classes are all, recordings of those classes are all available as email-based services on my bio page on 12listen.com. So last thing, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen. Post what you're grateful for. The advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours. And well, that helps. You know, agreement is a powerful, powerful thing. You can post anonymously, so why not? Why not? Whether it's in your experience or not, post it. And we're there to support you. And again, as always, I want to thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So you can download something anytime you want. 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I invite you to take advantage. I really do. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song, Bhaja Ure Ma by Jaya Lakshmi from the World Groove Mix CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Thanks for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. Today. enjoyed that song. I think that's so pretty. It'll be your room for a while. It kind of sticks with you in a pleasant way. You know, it's nice to have an earworm that you like to hear, if you like that. anyway, I wanted to, I don't really know what to call this teaching segment, other than it's more about give love and rest, demonstrating the kingdom of heaven within you, demonstrating source, just demonstrating source. And I want to start with the dedication of Emmett Fox's book, Find and Use Your Inner Power. He wrote, "To all men and women everywhere who believe that the will of God for man is freedom, health, and harmony, and that these things can be attained by learning the laws of life and applying them. Knowledge is power." Well, the square of life is wholeness, abundance, right relationship, and true place fulfillment. Or said a different way, health, wealth, happiness, and success. The square of life is also known as the divine standards, which I think is a much more meaningful term, because the word standard means something established by authority, custom, or general consent as a model or example, a level of quality or attainment, an idea or thing used as a measure, norm, or model in comparative evaluations. The divine standards for us, the individualization of source, are the norm. Because we are the individualization of source, the divine standards exist in the kingdom of heaven within each of us. They are us, you know, and therefore every desire we have to demonstrate health, wealth, happiness, and success is given us by God, because in the kingdom of heaven, those things are the status quo, and all that we seek, we already are. All of it. So, you know, all that the Father has is mine, all that God is, I am. Every good desire to demonstrate them is given us by God, but we don't go looking for them in the material world. We don't struggle and plot and plan and hang on to them like, you know, I can remember just in myself from personal experience a long time ago, just thinking about, you know, trying to visualize or figure out what that desire was, and, you know, like dotting every I, crossing every T, make sure that I looked at it and was very specific about how it was supposed to be and what exactly I wanted. And all of that was basically for nothing, because I was looking for it to come from outside of me. And nothing does. Nothing comes from outside of us at all. They don't, our desires manifest through us. They don't come to us. They come through us, through our consciousness of our divinity and through what we give to the world. Back to that love, give, and rest part. Joel Goldsmith said the formula for successful living is to serve. Serving to the highest of our ability, but looking only to the Father for our good. There is no power, he said, there is no power external to me. I am a transparency through which God's dominion flows out to the world. So we are the instrument. The more that we can be the instrument, you know, realize that, the instrument through which God becomes more in this physical plane, experiences this physical plane, that's our job. And all responsibility for us belongs to that which lives us, which is God. You know, my truth is that God's dominion, as Joel said, I'm a transparency through which God's dominion flows out to the world. that dominion is the demonstration of the divine standards of the kingdom of heaven. You know, love, give, rest are the actions we take in demonstrating God. And that action brings about our good. Not action of going out, struggling, trying to figure out where it's going to come from, what it's going to look like. That's counterproductive. That's counterproductive because you're looking, you know, you're looking at effects, which everything outside of you in the world that you see in the material world is an effect of consciousness. And effects can't do anything but be the effect that they are of someone's consciousness. So, or group consciousness, mass consciousness. The manifestation comes from within, and it's a circle. The desire comes from God. The desire is the quote-unquote hello, that what we desire exists within us, within that infinite storehouse, and that God wants to have a greater experience in the physical, demonstrating it through us. Our work is to give love and rest in the infinite. Last week's show focused on giving, so I want to share more about the other two. And just included in this whole, you know, in the divine standards, you know, having that in your head, or in your consciousness, I should say, absorbing that, you know, it's like John Randolph Price said, there are the steps to realization are awareness, you know, becoming aware of something, understanding it through further exploration, and then knowledge. And knowledge is when it becomes a part of us. When you know something, you know it. You're sure of it. So it's the same as realizing it. You know, that's, I think, knowledge and realization, I think, are pretty much the same thing. I think they are. But just kind of having that, just the idea that wholeness, abundance, right relations, and true place fulfillment being fulfilled in what we do belong to us now. They belong to us now. They're in our consciousness, which is God. Therefore, all we're doing is making a way for them to express in this physical plane through giving, loving, and then trusting, resting in the infinite, detaching from whatever it is that we desire, whatever that desire is that God gave us. We rest in God to take care of it. And then we do our work as we know what it is, you know, as we get intuitive hits, or, you know, something, are the breadcrumbs. I like to call them breadcrumbs. It's like, here's one. Okay, let's follow that. Here comes another one. You know, you're in, it's a dance. It's a dance. You follow. You follow, but it's not like dead air when you decide to rest and detach. It's not. It is, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. It's an active process. It's just not you going out to make something happen. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. As I said, last week's show was focused on giving, so I wanted to share more about the other two. And regarding love, Lawrence Scovel Shin wrote, "Every man on this planet is taking his initiation in love." Quoting the Master, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Real love is selfless and free from fear. It pours itself out upon the object of its affection without demanding any return. Its joy is in the joy of giving. Love is God in manifestation and the strongest magnetic force in the universe. Pure, unselfish love draws to itself its own. It does not need to seek or demand. Follow the path of love and all things are added, for God is love and God is supply. Isn't that beautiful? I love Florence. That's from The Game of Life and How to Play It. So rest is detachment. But as I said a minute ago, it is active because in that detachment, things are happening. If you're attached, things aren't happening. We're freezing them in place. When we're attached to a result, when we need something, that need pushes, it's a repelling energy, and it pushes things just outside our grasp. You know, we can never get to it. It's like the horses that walk around a millstone. You know, they've got a bag of feed or carrots hanging over their heads, just outside, just on the other side of their nose. They can't get to them, but that's their motivation to keep walking in that circle. So that's kind of a good metaphor, isn't it? To, you know, for when you need something, you just need it, and I need it, and I need it, and yeah, and you need it. Also, when you want something, want I remember Lauren Skye, the director of ICI, the institute that I went to, she would say, you know, you say, I want this. And the universe says, yes, you do. You say, I have this. And the universe says, yes, you do. So wanting is another thing. Yes, you do want that. And, it, you know, it's not a fulfillment of it. It's just a desire. It's kind of in the same category of need, but without that clenching, horrible, grasping feeling, you know, of need. But as I said, when you're in that detachment, things are happening because you are out of the way. God is only glorified in my success, right? In our success. And success is stepping aside and allowing perfection to take over and demonstrate what it is you desire. The things that happen when you're in that place of detachment, in that place of rest, are, you know, intuitive hits, guidance, and the experience of supply, what you need when you need it, you know, along the way. Here's this, here's this, here's this. And I can tell you, that's exactly how this show came about. I mean, it just, the information, like the tap on the shoulder to, you know, something would come into my mind from Florence. Something came into my mind from Emmett Fox, from Joel, from Reverend Dyke. I mean, honestly, they all fell into place like pieces of a puzzle. And it was just a thrilling to put them all together. But detachment is, you know, supply, what you need when you need it along the way to that demonstration. Detachment is allowing exactly what is supposed to happen, because you're unattached to the outcome, happening in a certain way. You let go of control. You relinquish control and attachment. So you can think of it this way. God is you, God is the desire, and God is the fulfillment of the desire. So what you do is what you're called to do in the moment, in that place of resting, in the moment, and you watch it unfold. Florence Goldshin wrote about visioning. She wrote, I'm asked so often the difference between visualizing and visioning. Visualizing is a mental process governed by the reasoning or conscious mind. Visioning is a spiritual process governed by intuition or the superconscious mind. The student should train his mind to receive these flashes of inspiration and work out the quote-unquote divine pictures. See how they develop, in other words, through definite leads. And again, that's intuition. Here, do this now. And you know, you just know you're part of the process, but you're not attached to it. You're that vehicle. You're that instrument through which it demonstrates. Back to Florence. When a man can say, I desire only that which God desires for me, his false desires fade from the consciousness, and a new set of blueprints is given him by the master architect, the God within. God's plan for each man transcends the limitation of the reasoning mind, and is always the square of life, containing health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. Many a man is building for himself in imagination a bungalow when he should be building a palace. If a student tries to force a demonstration through the reasoning mind, he brings it to a standstill. "I will hasten it," says the Lord. He should act only through intuition or definite leads. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. That too is from The Game of Life and How to Play It. I just love this stuff. It just makes me so happy. In an article called True Place and Right Place, I think I talked to one of the shows that I did recently with CA. We talked about this. It's an article from that same book that I mentioned the foreword when I started this segment. Emmett Fox wrote, and this is really important. "There is a vital difference between your true place and your right place, which everyone should understand. Your true place is the place where God intends you to be. In that place, you'll have great happiness, good health, and real prosperity, and you will be living an active and interesting life. That place is waiting for you somewhere. And the wonderful thing about it is that no one but yourself can fill it. Positively, no one else on earth but yourself can fill your true place adequately. Your right place in life is the place you are actually in at the moment, whether it is pleasing to you or not. You are always in your right place because you are in the place that corresponds to your mentality at the moment. But this may not be your true place. If your conditions are unwelcome, it means that there's something in your mentality that needs to be changed. Change it. And then the outer conditions will change too. You glorify God by working upon yourself until your right place and your true place become one." And that is from the book called Find and Use Your Inner Power. That's the other part too, of resting. Obviously, if you want something different, it's because you want to be someplace else, right? You're not fulfilled where you are. But it is important to not make an enemy of where you are or of the thing that you want changed. You know, say you want a new car. Say your car is just old or you just want a new car. You know, maybe it's not suiting you. Maybe you need a bigger car, a smaller car, whatever it is. This is just the example. You bless that car that you have. You know, I can totally have where I am and I can totally have my intention. That's a dichotomy. And it's very, very important to have that dichotomy, because if you cannot have where you are, you're resisting everything. It's kind of the same thing as you know, not detaching. You don't want to resist where you are because resistance brings more, right? It blows it up. When we're dissatisfied with anything, that dissatisfaction can become a bottomless pit. And the thing that you are dissatisfied with will prove to you over and over and over why you are dissatisfied with it. So change it. You know, like he said, if there's something that needs to be changed, you change your mind about it. That's how it changes. So, you know, resistance too, no matter what it is, no matter what you want to bring into your life, be grateful for what is in your life. You know, be grateful. Find the good in it. Find something in it or become neutral to it. Neutrality is king. Neutrality is the biggest healer on the planet. You know, I mean, really, neutrality is huge. If you can be neutral to something, that's the same thing as quote unquote having it. You know, and back to the dichotomy, example, if you imagine just a great picture for this, a great metaphor for the dichotomy is, imagine that you're holding a tray, like a round tray, and one part of it is right up against your chest, and the other part is at your fingers on an outstretched arm. So it's resting on your arm, and it goes between your chest and your fingers. Well, every time, you know, you think about at where your fingers are is where your desire is, the thing, your intention, the thing that you want to bring into your life. Right up against your chest is where you are right now in this moment, is what is. And when you think about what your desire is, it's, I can totally have what I desire, and I can totally have where I am right now. I can totally have where I want to be, my next step, and I can totally have where I am right now, and I will be where I am right now in my integrity and my focus, and I will give everything I can to it. If it's a new job, I can totally have the job I have now. Or if you don't have a job, I can be here and I can be grateful for where I am now. And that's it. Just have it. And you know what that is? That's love. That's love. You know, it's just, that's loving you. Because the only one that suffers when you get frustrated is you. Right? You know, we only suffer because we're clinging to something that we want to be different than it is. So that's just, I can totally have what I desire, and I can totally have where I am right now. That's really powerful. And that just kind of brings a soothing energy of neutrality into your consciousness and into that whole, the whole process of demonstrating. Joel wrote, "The great secret of life is this. God is incarnated in man. God is manifest as man. God is in the midst of you. The place where you stand is holy ground. There's just as much God in you right where you are as there would be if the heavens could open and God itself come into you. If this were not true, Jesus could not have healed. Neither could the disciples, nor the apostles, nor the metaphysical and spiritual practitioners of this day. You are divine because the Spirit of God is manifest as your very being. God has embodied itself as your soul, mind, and spirit. God, in its essence, is invisible. God, in its expression, is visible as you and me. In the old days, the Hebrews thought the Messiah was a man, but the one whom they thought was the Messiah said, 'Before Abraham was, I am.' Messiah is the Spirit of God in man, and the Hebrews who prophesied the coming of the Messiah were absolutely correct, except that they put it in time and space. The Messiah does not come in time and space, it comes in consciousness. The Christ, or Messiah, is born when you recognize the presence of the Spirit of God in you. Never is this external. Always it is within you. But the effect is external. Love goes before you and is felt by all whom you touch." The Master said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I will send him unto you." The Comforter is your divine state of consciousness, that area of your consciousness which is the Christ, the Spirit of Truth, the Savior, the Messiah. All of this is within you. Now, Jesus told the disciples that he had to go. If he didn't go away, the Comforter would not come. Now, they depended on the Master, right? They depended on Jesus for miracles, for physical as well as spiritual food. But they would never learn who they were as the individualization of God until they were on their own. That's a really interesting thing to think about. You know, we depend on teachers, mentors, gurus, but the kingdom of God is within us. And as Neville said, God is known by experience or not at all. Our teachers are way showers, and we would not be where we are without them. They're an invaluable part of our evolution. And all of that was orchestrated by God, wanting to become more in, through, and as us. All of it. All of it. But our teachers are our teachers because they were wonderful examples. But they can't experience God for us. And a lot of times, you know, when we have a teacher, a path, or a religion that we follow, I think sometimes, and I don't know if I can put the right words to this, I think we make ourselves small rather than owning who we are. Maybe that's not, depending on the religion, not a lesson that is taught by that religion. But we look to them because we think they are better or greater than we are. They may be more knowledgeable. They, you know, along this path that I'm talking about, they have experienced God. They've realized the presence of God within, and they are demonstrating the fruits of that. And so, but that's ours. That belongs to us. You know, like I said, they can be wonderful examples, but they can't experience God for us. The realization of the presence of God within is also a product of rest and detachment from the physical. In other words, you let it go and you go into your quiet space and you feel the movement of spirit. In this case, when I'm talking about rest and detachment, rest is synonymous with trust. With trust. It's like, okay, this is the desire that I've been given. I can't manifest it. I don't know how to bring it about. I don't know. But that which lives me, the God that lives me, does. Therefore, I release all power, control, and responsibility for it to everything, capital E. So rest is synonymous with trust and the peace that passes understanding. And that peace, that's what I mean about the movement of spirit within, is an experience of the presence of God. And once we have that, we just go back and have more and more and more and more and grow that relationship, you know? Discover our language, you know, our language with spirit. I think we each have an individual language because we're individuals, but that's just, it's a practice. It's a practice. Practicing the presence is a practice, meaning returning over and over for a minute, 3 minutes. If you're in a really sweet space, for as long as you want to be there, but that's where everything comes from. That's where everything comes from. And that's when we really understand that saying, nothing comes to us, it comes through us. That's when we really get it, is when we realize that. When we know God by experience. I get a monthly email from the Reverend Ike Legacy that always has a cool little teaching in it. And it's so funny because it's just, I'm going to share it. So obviously it was just for this show this month. I got it a few days ago, the one for May. And it said, we believe that when you are experiencing problems in your life, whether they be health challenges, money problems, or any other obstacles, regardless of what the appearance might be, it is not the truth of you. It may be a fact, quote unquote, fact of your experience, but it is not the truth of you. We are working with the principles that Jesus gave us. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. You have to know the truth about yourself, and you have to keep affirming that truth, because the way you see yourself is the way you're going to experience life. And I'm just going to interject here. Reverend Ike said, you can never be greater than your self-concept. Neville said, your self-concept is what you accept and consent to as yourself. The article goes on to say, when the prodigal son left his father's house, even when he was in the hog pen eating swill, the truth of him never changed. The prodigal son experienced the fact of bad times, but that was not the truth of him. You must know the difference, because you can suffer when you don't remember the truth of you. But when you believe in yourself properly, and when you accept the truth about God in you, you will know that through the presence and power of God within, you can be, do, and have all the good that you desire. Then they gave an affirmative treatment. The truth of me is health. My truth is happiness and love. God in me gives me new and exciting ideas that make me successful and prosperous. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God in me. And, you know, I want to go back to one thing. You know, when we know the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, knowing the truth is practicing the presence of God, is making that connection, you know. And when we have that connection, we have, it's a lot easier to give love and rest. It just is, because it never fails. It never fails. You turn it over, you rest in those everlasting arms, and things happen. Things happen. And I just love that affirmative treatment, because it is a simple statement of the divine standards, right? The truth of me is health. My truth is happiness and love. God in me gives me new and exciting ideas that make me successful and prosperous. That's the square of life. And with that, new, that's the square of life. And with that, our circle is complete. So thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you have a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.